Good afternoon. I'd like to call the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Today is Wednesday, March 1st. Let the record reflect the time is 3:15 p.m. Today we have present Representative Prox, Representative Wright, Representative Fields, Vice Chair Representative Ruffridge, and myself, Chair Sumner. Staff that will be assisting us today are Jordan Wright with House Records, Lisa Denny with the LIO, and my staff, Clark Bickford, Committee Aide to House Labor and Commerce. Our first bill on today's agenda is HB 46 from Representative Fields. I do want to mention that there will be a fiscal note forthcoming from Department of Revenue on this bill. Vice Chair Ruffridge, what's the will of the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill number 46, version B, also referred to as 33-LS0221-B, be advanced from the committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Okay.
Object.
For Representative Prox.
Quick review of where we are on that, if you would, please. Which bill? 46. I'm not remembering.
46. The child care bill.
Thank you.
You maintain your objection?
I remove my objection.
Okay. Seeing no objection, House Bill 46 is moved from committee. Brief at ease. All right, we're back on the record. Our last bill on the agenda today is a first bill hearing on House Bill 73 from Representative Schrage. Committee will hear and hold this bill for a future date. Please approach and start your presentation, Representative Schrage. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. Appreciate the opportunity to have HB 73 heard before the committee today. I notice you're off to an efficient start, and we'll hope to help keep you on that efficient track and maybe get done a little bit early today, but of course we'd welcome any discussion or questions on this bill. With your indulgence, I'll start with the sponsor statement and run through the single section sectional. All right, very good. So House Bill 73 aims to provide those who file complaints with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development the ability to be notified prior to the closure of an investigation. Once notified, HB 73 would require that the complainant be provided a window of 10 days to object before the investigation is closed. This minor statutory change would improve the complainant's ability to be part of the process and provide additional transparency and accountability. HB 73 provides individuals who bring complaints that warrant an investigation a final opportunity to provide input before an investigation is closed. That moves me on to the sectional. There's just a single section. Section 1 amends AS08.01.087 by adding a new subsection D requiring the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development to notify a complainant of its preliminary decision and give them 10 days to object to the closure of an investigation. That is it for the summary or sponsor statement and sectional. And I just add that this is, you may be curious as to why I brought this bill forward. It's rather minor in scope. This was brought forward to me by a constituent who had raised a complaint with a professional in Anchorage and was notified after the fact that his complaint had been dismissed and the investigation closed, and just felt that he should have had an opportunity prior to having his complaint closed, the opportunity to provide additional information and add some additional context to that investigation, and felt that, that was a legitimate concern and something that might be able to just improve the public experience a little bit when it comes to these investigations and incorporating them to a greater extent into that process. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Schrage. Seems pretty straightforward. Any questions for the sponsor? Representative Prox.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. Through the chair, the complainant has opportunity to provide input before they reach a decision, correct?
Through the chair, that is correct.
Okay. And follow up? And can the complainant appeal the decision if they don't like it under current conditions?
through the chair. They can't. What I do know of the investigation process is the department will accept additional information even after a case is closed, and they will consider that. Frankly, the main thing that this bill does is just provide notification prior to the complaint actually being closed to allow that complainant the opportunity to, as a citizen, when you hear from a department that your complaint has been closed, oftentimes I think that feels like the end of the road and your concerns have been ignored. You haven't really received a response as to what's taken place. And again, you're finding out after the fact that, that's literally what happened is the individual called in and found out that his complaint was closed. And so this just provides an additional opportunity for the individual to be notified that they are closing the complaint and the opportunity to provide some of that information prior to a decision being rendered. And I failed to, my apologies, I'd maybe just add on, I forgot to mention during my introduction that the department has provided a zero fiscal note, as they already do provide a notice once the case is closed, and this just mandates that they provide one additional notice, something that is fairly routine and has no meaningful increase in costs. Thank you.
Follow up.
1 second. Let the record reflect that Representative Sadler arrived at 3:20 p.m. and Representative Carrick arrived at 3:26 p.m. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Representative Prax.
Okay, thank you. So the complainant gets a notice. They do not agree with the decision. And then do they get another bite at the apple? I guess I would think there's a possibility that it all just starts over again.
Through the chair, I want to make sure I understand your question. Could you repeat it for me, Representative Prox?
Yes. If this were to be put into statute, that the person that filed the complaint in the first place would get a notice, where we've got a preliminary order, you get a chance to read it over, and then you can complain. Well, all right, you just said you don't like it. Does the department say, okay, thank you, we don't care, and we go on? Or I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think there'd be any point in that. So then the other extreme is it just starts the process over again. The complainant provides more information, then the defendant's got to provide more information, and they come up with another decision. It's a due process. They should sort all of this out, think about it, be done. In a court proceeding, you don't get a prior notice and then get to restart providing evidence to the judge.
Through the chair, I'll do my best to address your question. So I don't believe that anything in the bill mandates that the clock restart and that the case is then, as I think I understand your question, it would not remain perpetually open as the complainant continues to submit additional documentation. One, I think they eventually run out of additional, documentation or otherwise to refute the decision. But two, I just don't believe that this would restart the clock. I believe they'd have that 10-day window to provide additional information. The department would review that information and then move forward with either the closure or continue that investigation and do a little bit more homework to investigate what exactly has occurred. So to be clear, I do not believe that it restarts the clock. With respect to due process, I'm not a lawyer and I'll probably get myself into trouble going much further down this line of question, but I think this does differ than what you might find in a court proceeding. There's no process by which both parties are informed of all of the evidence to be presented. In this situation, the complainant provides information as to why they have a complaint. The department then investigates and reviews, receives additional information from the involved parties or the individual who maybe was complained against or who the complaint was levied against. They provide information to the department, and the original complainant really doesn't hear anything, as far as I understand, until either action is taken or the case is closed. And so this is where, if they are going to go down the case closure path, it provides notice prior to that to just give that complainant an additional opportunity to contact the department, ask about, where the investigation is at, and provide some additional information that they may feel was relevant.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Schrage, I'm going to pursue the same line of questioning that Representative Prox has asked, because I think we're confusing what you say. This would give people simple notice And you also are saying that the language says we give them time to object. And I guess I also understand if the complainant has the right to object, you're saying that would give them 10 more days to offer more information. The question is fairly asked, when does it stop? And is this necessary? I'm reading this section right now. You said already that the department already provides notice at the end of an investigation. And the question is, how many rounds of investigation, decision, or intent to decide a certain way, object, offer more information, more consideration, notice of, you know, intent, object, lather, rinse, repeat. When does it end? I'm not quite sure I see the benefit of this.
Yeah, through the chair, what I can speak is to my constituent's experience where he levied what he felt was a complaint with merit, and then the next notice he gets is just this case has been closed and no opportunity to really engage in that process beyond just his initial complaint. And I think as a citizen, I think that experience is rather frustrating. I know if I had been in that same situation, I'd be frustrated to just find out after the case, after the investigation, that my concerns were dismissed or found to be without merit. And I know that in my constituent's instance, he felt he had some very compelling evidence that refuted what the individual who was defending themselves had said in response to his complaint, and never felt that he was afforded the opportunity to refute any of those points prior to the case being closed. So this just, again, provides an opportunity 10 days prior to the case being closed, an opportunity for that individual to be notified so that they can provide some information prior to that complaint being acted on. I would note that I believe we have Sylvan Robb with DCCED online that could probably speak to how they feel this would impact the process and whether or not it would restart the clock. But again, my understanding and conversations with the department is that once you're sent that 10-day notice, simply submitting additional information or documentation doesn't actually restart the clock. It gives you a 10-day window to provide that information prior to that action that was already planned being taken.
Right. So this question I would ask is, what information would a complainant offer at the end of the process that they would not offer at the front of the process? I certainly understand that somebody who did not see their complaint be resolved the way they would like it would like the chance to argue the case again. But if it is the department's in their authority to make a decision, I don't know to what extent we're going to set up a court of appeals for departmental investigations.
Through the chair, just in response to those concerns, I would note that in my experience, when individuals engage in the public process and do levy a complaint, they often aren't building a rock-solid case that would withstand all scrutiny in the court of law. They provide the minimum amount they think necessary to validate or provide documentation of what they feel has been the injustice. They provide what they think will substantiate their claim and go no further. Not everyone has the time or ability to gather, an irrefutable case and provide all that documentation on the front. And they may think that the single document or two they provided DCCED is, conclusive and proves their case, and may be shocked after the fact to find out that the person they complained against produced a sworn affidavit or some other document that they really didn't expect and could provide additional documentation to refute or counterclaim that evidence. And they just may not have done so on the front end because they felt that their claim stood on its own and had merit, and maybe confused or frustrated with the public process, which maybe doesn't weigh that evidence with the same regard that they do. And again, I guess I fail to see the concern over, where does it end? Because it still ends at the 10 days. If DCCED doesn't see that the additional documents changes the case or the merit of the complaint, DCCED still has the ability to unilaterally dismiss the complaint within that time frame. So I think that is the end of the process right there. Thank you.
Representative Prox.
Yes, thank you. Did you say that Sylvan Robb was available? I wonder if she could shed light on the complaint process.
Sylvan Robb, if you are on. Oh,
hey,
wonderful.
Sorry, I thought they said I'm online. Okay, please approach, and if you could answer that question, that'd be excellent. Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the record, I'm Sylvan Robb. I'm the Director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing at the Department of Commerce. And Representative Prox, through the chair, I believe your question was just sort of an overview of how the complaint process works.
Yes.
Certainly, we'd be happy to provide that. So our process is really sort of moves through three phases. So initially, when a case starts, it's an intake, and at that point, either a member of the public or when people have submitted an application with the division for a professional license, something comes to light that we feel we want the investigations unit to take a look at. So if a member of the public, as the case of Representative Shaggy's constituent, reaches out and makes a complaint, then with the public, we ask them to complete that complaint in writing, because if this goes all the way through the process, it can end in court. And so we do need a written record of how that investigation started. Last year, just for some sense of scale, in FY22, we had 1,447 intakes that were done by the division. And about 500, actually 498 of those stopped at that point. Either the member of the public, upon having talked to the division, didn't follow up with a written complaint, or the thing that we noticed in an initial application turned out not to be a problem. It was something that was within the statutory allowability. The next phase is something moves on to a complaint. And so last year we had just under 1,000 of those. And that's the point where the investigation team starts to look into it. So in the case of the constituent, they would have submitted a written complaint, and the investigations team starts to look into it. Not all of the investigations make it beyond that phase, because many times the complaint that is lodged is not jurisdictional. Someone is complaining about something that is not covered by the statutes that are within the division's purview. So, for example, this is the reason that we have malpractice lawsuits, or that people sue a contractor because they feel like there was shoddy work done. So those are not the kind of issues that can be redressed through the investigation process that the division has. And then if there are findings at that complaint stage, then we move to opening an investigation. And we don't use the language of investigation until we get to that point where we see that there's some evidence, because having an investigation for many of our professional licensees has consequences. So for anyone who's in a healthcare field, if there is an open investigation, that has to be reported to the National Practitioner Data Bank. One other thing to note about this process is that complainants are not considered parties to this activity. It's either between the licensing board that has authority over the profession and the licensee, or the division for those professions that don't have boards that oversee them. Was that enough to answer your question?
For now, yes. Thank you.
Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. And I guess just a question for you, if you don't mind. Through the chair, this process is something that I'm at least a little bit familiar with, but I'm not familiar with the complainant having notice at all of closure of a complaint. Is that typical process right now? Is a closure letter being sent or email being sent that the complaint is closed?
Through the chair to Representative Ruffridge, yes, it's division policy that we do send a letter to the complainant when the case is closed. So as I mentioned, there are those three phases, sort of intake, complaint, and investigation. When cases close at either the intake or the complaint level, meaning that the division has not found that there's something jurisdictional or that there's a violation. And in the case of boarded programs, if there's something that the investigators have found, that goes to the board for review, and then they say, this is something that has occurred that needs to be taken to the investigation level. And so any complaints that close at the intake or complaint level, the complainant will receive a letter saying that the case was closed. They don't get additional information beyond that. If a case moves to the investigation phase, then the outcome of that case and the action that is taken by the board or the division against the licensee is public.
Yes, I can follow up if I may. So the letter responding to a closure, you had mentioned that that doesn't have any other information in other than just the notice of closure. Is there a potential for letting the complainant know why the closure was implemented, such as this was not in our jurisdiction, there wasn't statute governing this complaint is outside of the jurisdiction of a board or a commission, other than just a notice of this has been closed? I mean, to Representative Schrage's point, sometimes that very just your complaint has been closed would be a little bit surprising to a person without any further information. And I'm assuming that that person, if that information is not available, would call and also be told the complaint is just closed. I cannot explain any further to you. Is that kind of, am I right with that response?
Through the chair, Representative Ruffridge, until the point that the complaint has been substantiated and, you know, we found that there's something there that action needs to be taken on, that's confidential because we don't want, just for an example, we've seen a case where, you know, someone was unhappy with their work schedule and lodged a complaint against their employer who was a licensee. Alaska is a small town, and so we don't want anyone's reputation or business to be impugned by a complaint that we found was either not jurisdictional or didn't have merit. But I can certainly see the frustration of receiving a letter, and I think it's a good suggestion to think about, you know, can we put in general terms what the reason was, either that it was not jurisdictional or that a few other generalities as to why the case was closed, to give people a little more satisfaction. But it does say that we investigated. It doesn't just say it went into a void and nothing happened.
Last follow-up from me. So that change were to be made, that is a change that would happen internally through division policy rather than a statutory change directing the department to give a general sense of information to a complainant. Is that something that you guys, your department could handle internally with a policy decision or something we would need to direct via statute?
Through the chair, Representative Ruffridge, it is a policy that we send that letter, and so we could certainly amend the contents of that letter within the division.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, Ms. Ruff, I confess that some of the information went by me quickly. If I could just ask a brief series to make sure I understand what the process is of notification to the complainant at various stages. Real simple. I'll just say, what are the phases? Very simply, at what phases of an investigation, those three steps, does the complainant get information?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler. So the first is the intake. And in that case, that is the phase is actually like a constituent reaching out to the division saying, you know, here's one of your licensees. I think they did something that they shouldn't have.
So that what information is given to the complainant at that first stage?
At that point, we let them know that if they would like to proceed, we'll send them a complaint packet, and they need to submit that packet with all of the information that they have. It does provide information that they can add any additional information as things continue. It does also note that, you know, they're not a party to this case. It's between the division and the board and the licensee.
So the intake stage, you provide at the intake, the complainant gets the information out of the complaint. So at the second stage, the investigation, some investigations are screened out as being non-jurisdictional, and notices go into the complaint at that point, correct?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler, yes, you're correct. So at that middle complaint stage, if that's the end of the end of the investigation of that complaint, the complainant would receive a letter indicating that the case has been closed.
Okay, so very good. And at the third stage, if there was a if it gets to investigation, I think conclusion of that investigation, the complainant is also notified by letter, and the information provided is no more than, well, what information is provided?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler, if it gets to an investigation stage, the complainant does receive a letter letting them know that there is some sort of disciplinary action taken, and all of that disciplinary action is publicly available. If you go to the division's website and go into the database, a licensee who has action against their license, that is publicly
visible. With your indulgence, Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure I understand. So if there's an investigation, and which was found justified and disciplinary action is taken, the complainant is notified, correct?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, that's correct.
And if the investigation through the chair shows that there is not justification for any sanction, the complainant also receives a letter, correct?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, that's correct.
And with your indulgence, two more brief questions. So at the very start of the process, the complainant is notified that they are not a party to the investigation. They're allowed to complain, but they don't have standing as a plaintiff. So
through the chair, Representative Sadler, you're correct.
So would the giving the complainant that additional step envisioned by this legislation to give them 10 days to object and provide more information, would that tend to create the complainant as more of a party to the investigation in contradiction to your current policy?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler, my understanding is that, and I'm going to make the same qualification that I am not an attorney. I think certainly the will of the bill is just that it gives that person an opportunity to weigh in one more time. Legally, with the passage of this bill, I don't know if it would make them a party to it as it's written. That's really a question for law. I apologize.
I'm not an attorney either, but the ability to weigh in implies that they have more standing than they currently have, at my interpretation of it. And amplify a little bit, you said that the decisions are made public. If there is a sanction, there is a public information available about the disposition of a complaint if it involves a sanction. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, that is correct. We have a publicly searchable database on the division's website for all professional licensees. So if you knew the name of the licensee that you had complained about and were aware that the case had closed after an investigation, you can go actually see the agreement that is reached. Many times they're called consent agreements, and they're legal documents, and they are public there on our website.
And through the chair, last question, and thank you for your indulgence. And that's only if there's a sanction. If there is no sanction, if the investigation goes through and there's no harm, no foul, then the complainant does receive that information, or is that information public as well?
Through the chair to Representative Sadler, so it would stop at that middle phase if it was deemed that there had been no violation. And so they would just receive the letter indicating that the case had been closed.
Thank you, I understand. Thank you.
Any other questions for either Mrs. Robb or for the bill sponsor? No? Okay. Seeing none, that concludes our business today. We'll adjourn. Let the record reflect. The time is 3:48 p.m.